Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Like most kids, I really loved superheroes and comic books. Superman was one of my favorites. I so enjoyed those movies, but I don't think I enjoyed them nearly as much as Christian, my brother, did. So much so that he watched the movie Superman 3 so often that he wore a hole in the VHS tapes.
We're aging ourselves.
Yes.
It was first grade, and I watched Superman 3 every single day after school. I was so obsessed with it that I would wear a Superman outfit as a little kid and put my Clark Kent white button-down shirt on top and my glasses, and I would walk around my house, and when I found someone, I would perform this transition from Clark Kent to Superman, but instead of, I couldn't rip open my white button-down shirt, so I had to very quickly unbutton all the buttons and open, and obviously I grew up to be much more of a Clark Kent than a Superman, which is a pretty big understatement.
Depends on what you value.
But I still feel like I have that seven-year-old Superman inside of me.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom. You're listening to Life is Short. I'm your host, Justin Long.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
And I'm with another Long.
A younger Long. Christian.
So the story that Christian just mentioned, can you call it a story? The
anecdote?
Yeah. That lasted for about a year, that phase, I would say.
And only because the tape broke. It could only last as long as that VHS lasted.
That's true. And the best part was why I remember my parents having to wait for your shirt to come off and be like, oh, what's going to happen? You know, they were really good about that.
I remember singing the theme song as I did it. I was like, dun 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 dun. And I would have to keep looping that melody because I couldn't get my shirt off in time.
The like timpani intro. For like a minute and a half.
I vamped it.
Wait for it.
I always had really puffy hair and I was insecure about that. So I would water it down so it was close to my head, and I would make a little curl. Remember he had that little, on his forehead, he had that little curl of hair?
Like a little forehead pube.
And I would shape it into a little curl, I remember, and I felt so cool.
But we recently rewatched that movie, and I think it holds up.
I do too.
Richard Pryor is amazing in
it. So good.
He's so funny, and as Clark Kent and as Superman, Christopher Reeve was just the best. Was so earnest and funny, and we're talking about how difficult that is to do, to play both of those parts equally well, to be convincingly bumbling and awkward, and then to be this, to be Superman. It's a feat.
And they looked exactly alike, for the outfit. And the fact that no one ever, looking back on it now.
That part doesn't age as well.
No.
Especially when they're in Smallville, because it's such a small town, and you think, like, obviously Superman, he's got to be the most famous person definitely in the town, if not the world.
So you'd think if someone who looked like this most famous person in town showed up, same body, big muscles, gorgeous face, but just covered up with glasses and a white button-down shirt, you'd think at some point someone would be like, oh, wait a minute.
At least Lana Lang, who knew Clark Kent really well, I mean, knew him intimately, would be like, oh, hold on a second. Wait, can you just put these glasses on for a second? I just want to see something.
Anyway, speaking of Superman, our guest today is a superhero himself.
Yeah.
Jeremy Renner.
And Jeremy Renner now knows what it must feel like to be on the receiving end of somebody's adulation, like a kid's adulation.
Like little version of me.
Exactly.
He must feel that from all these kids, all these fans who look up to him so much. And that must be a huge responsibility for mm-hmm. him,
yeah.
You know, I would think.
Yeah, Jeremy is an actual superhero, and as you'll all hear, he shares many similar traits as a superhero.
Met him about 15 years ago, probably a little after you did, and I remember I met him at a karaoke bar. He was in a big group of people. We were there with a bunch of friends, and he was quiet and kind of kept to himself, and at one point he got up to sing for the first time, and this is not hyperbole. He is the greatest, to this day, the greatest karaoke singer I've ever heard in my life. He sang Bohemian Rhapsody, and it melted my face.
Yeah,
it was so good.
It was. I remember. It's a karaoke performance. We were all drinking, and I still remember it. I still remember what it looked like, what it sounded like. I've sang karaoke with real singers. they don't compare.
And, you know, since then, obviously in the last 10 years especially, he's gone from karaoke singer in a bar to being one of the biggest movie stars on the planet, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but I remember at the time thinking, I was sort of surprised that he was pursuing acting. I thought, well, why would this guy not be he's a singer. He's incredible. He's the best I've heard. We were all blown away by it. So I did not know him as an actor. I knew him as a friend of a friend and this guy who was like had an incredible voice. So when this did happen to him, which was probably about a year later, right? I'm going to put a picture of him singing karaoke on Instagram. But it came as a surprise to me. I don't think I'd seen him in anything up until then. And now, of course, I've seen him in many things. But it's happened, yeah, over the last 10 years.
And if you're one of the handful of people who hasn't seen any of the Avengers movies, then you might also know him from Mission Impossible franchise, the Bourne franchise. He does really huge, cool movies. He was in The Town. He was nominated for an Oscar for that. So now, good news about his singing voice. He's now about to be a musician that people can hear. He's recording music. He has an animated movie coming out in November, a kids movie that he does the whole soundtrack for. He sings the whole soundtrack for. You guys are in for a treat.
Your ears are going to melt like ours did 10 years ago. And hopefully your ears will also enjoy my chat with Mr. Jeremy Renner coming up next.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
For all the shorties that want voluminous, fanned-out lashes, This ad is for you. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume. Their tapered brush catches every single lash, even those pesky corner lashes. You know who you are, corner lashes. With the Panorama Mascara, you'll easily achieve that effortless, false lashes look. It's one of Christian's favorite looks. Plus, it lasts up to 24 hours and is clump and flake resistant. And just when you thought it couldn't get better, it does. The Panorama Mascara is a lot more affordable than other luxe mascaras. And honestly, it probably does a better job. It's affordable, but it's deceptive because it comes in a premium gold luxe packaging. So if you want a mascara that can do it all, volumize, lengthen, and stay put all day, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Hello, hello again, shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
In the last 10 years, things have really happened in a way that I'm guessing you've always wanted. I mean, I guess you're living the life that most actors want. Does it feel that way? Do you feel fulfilled?
I mean, it's hard to really kind of quantify, you know, where it's at this moment with, you know, Endgame just being out.
Well, I should also say that before I knew you as an actor, I knew you as one of the most talented singers I've ever heard. When we hung out one night, I saw you give a karaoke performance that was better than anyone I'd ever seen in my life. And I remember thinking, like, why is this guy an actor? He should be like, he should be playing the Phantom of the Opera or something. You should be a rock star. You sang Bohemian Rhapsody, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Was that your go-to?
No. I sang karaoke for like 10 years, man. Being in L.A., just being a broke-ass actor, and it's the only thing I could afford to do because it's free.
Oh, yeah.
And heck, I'd even get a free drink once in a while and maybe a taco that I couldn't afford.
So you just perfected singing? You became
I always loved doing it. I always loved singing. Singing or writing music and being in music was something I did well before acting.
Huh.
But I never wanted to do it as a job. So it was a great, fun way for me to kind of sing, have fun, and it was a social scene. Everybody I know in my life to this moment, we pretty much met in the karaoke bar.
Oh, really? Yeah. What was that place? Gower Gulch,
yeah. There's Barney's Beanery.
We
had five places we'd rotate to and go. Wow, I mean, almost for a decade, we'd go at least four times a week.
Oh, really?
Because it was like our social life as well, you know.
So who's in this crew? Do I know these guys?
I met Walter Asenaviev, who I actually songwrite with now.
Oh, so you are doing music,
Katie,
now.
Yeah. There's two songs that I already had written that are in this kids animated movie where I did the lead voice on. It comes out in November called Arctic Dogs. So we did the whole soundtrack for that movie, which was cool because I did that last year. And then
Arctic Dogs.
Arctic Dogs, yeah, and that comes out in
In December.
November 1st. And so from that point on, we kept writing a ton more music, and then now it's all starting to come out.
Oh, so like the floodgates open. So you had
It's
been,
opened up now. Yeah,
that's great.
Big time opened up now, but just nobody knows that I'm doing it quite yet. So now it's
well,
all being released.
Well, they do now.
Exactly. It's all being released almost as we speak.
So this is something you've been doing for a while, and you mentioned maybe in the part we didn't record that that you had never intended to do it as a career. You never, music was just something you loved to do socially.
Yeah, music is something I did when I was a kid, and my garage band and playing drums and just learned by playing. And then I wanted to songwrite, so then I watched people play piano on break in school.
You're like seem to be like a true Renaissance man, like the house flipping stuff. You know how to build things. You, for a long time, that hustle allowed you to do a lot of other things, which you continue to do.
Yeah.
Was that just a means to survive?
Well, it was, you know, not having very much money, I didn't like paying rent because it just didn't make financial sense. Uh-huh. And I didn't have any money, really. But so at some point, I who's really more like my brother at this point, Christopher, we decided to pool our little bit of money we got together instead of get like a condo in the valley, like, let's go get this house. And we fixed it up a little bit and didn't intend to sell it. But then the realtor came in after we were done. She's like, you know what? We can sell it for this price. I'm like, what? We never heard of that much money in our lives. And then we just kept going and learning as we went as well. I feel like with everything in life,
yeah,
I just kind of have, I mean, kind of an actionable person, and I learn by doing and by failing and just kept going. And I always knew that this is the biggest investment in my life or anyone's life, really. But it's a roof over your head. It's a tangible thing. It's not a, you're not investing in a stock or a bond or something. You're investing in a home or a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then we both just got better and got really good at it. And that also allowed.
So you kind of taught yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. And it allowed me financially to really have confidence going into any audition room with the kind of big brass ball saying, I don't need this job.
You don't need it. Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah.
If you can go in not needing a job.
Yeah.
So much of acting it strikes me as just being confident.
I think so.
Getting
out
of your own way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so at the time when you're doing this house flipping, acting is something that was a passion that you didn't have it as a kid. I didn't realize this.
No.
You fell into it kind of later.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did that happen?
College. I always went to school, local JC, just to get the undergrad out of the way, and then figure I was going to go somewhere. I didn't know. I was taking computer science. I didn't know what the heck I wanted to do, and then stumbled on elective, an acting class.
That's crazy.
That my dad sort of encouraged me, give me like the math and certain things that were transferable, like 90 units or something. And he said, whatever after that, just try stuff. Go fail, son. Just try things. And then
I tried
this acting class. And the only thing I remember about signing up for that elective is like, what the hell I know about acting or what that is. I just remember Kirk Cameron in Family. No,
Growing Pains.
Growing Pains. Yeah. And then Family Ties was.
Mark J. Fox.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, that's what I knew about acting.
Oh, my God. Well, you're not wrong.
And then
it's kind of all, I guess, so anyone listening, that's kind of all you need to know.
That's right.
And you'll be in Avenger.
That's right.
When you're in that class, are you like, you're just kind of doing it to do something different, and then at what point are you like, oh, shit,
It clicked pretty quickly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, as an actor, it's like when you do a play or they always say that you get bit by the bug or type of thing, but what that really means is I think there's a wonderful communion that happens, and it's, you play make-believe. You revert back to being the purest form of ourselves, which I think is around like 5 years old, when you have no fear and you're encouraged to make believe and play.
Yeah.
And I'm now doing it at 48, you know.
You're so lucky.
Playing make believe. You know?
I know. Like you have a firsthand, like you can witness a 6-year-old because you have a daughter.
That's
now.
That's right.
Six.
Yeah, I just left her.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Sorry again.
She's like, who, daddy? Who are you going to go talk to?
What's a podcast?
I'll be right back, please. It's okay.
Like, oh, this guy, I'm friends with, guilty.
Yeah, never mind. I'm Maddie. I'll be back.
What is she like? What is it? It must be cool to see. I mean, that form of, you must be a great dad because you're so good at playing. I mean, you're a professional, as you
I'd
said.
I'd say it's the best role to date I've had and will always be, is being a daddy. It's the best thing. It's directed
but no
everything.
Awards.
There's reward, but no award.
Well,
yeah,
There should be.
The reward is, you know, getting woke up to her little face this morning. And, yeah. You know, it starts off my day great.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I see yours.
Yeah.
It's all downhill from there.
Well, then you get to go back for
it. I am really happy to see you.
Yeah, me too, man.
Really
happy. We used to have so much fun. And
yeah.
God, I'm telling you, it's the last, since we've seen each other, the changes have been monumental. I mean, as big as they can be for an actor.
Yeah.
What was the point where you felt like, okay, now this is going to be happening from now on? This is like, I don't have to go back. I don't have to rely on anything else to survive or to get by.
I think that, but that to me happened when on my first job in LA, my first job ever. And that's when it kind of, like, okay, cool.
But was it Dahmer?
No, this is like senior trip in 1993, 94, I think.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's when I feel like, okay, I'm working as an actor. My first job ever was not a guest star in something or an extra as a lead of a National Lampoon movie.
Oh, shit.
So, not that it was great or anything, but it was just, I don't know. I was always encouraged along the way, and I got enough work to feel like I didn't have to do any bar job or waiting tables or any of those types of things.
You were a makeup artist for a while?
I was a makeup artist. Yeah. That freed up my week to audition all week. But I've always felt like, this is what I'm doing, and this is what I'm down here for, and I was very focused on that.
So again, you didn't feel the pressure, you didn't feel like any fear. I mean, maybe
I've been pretty good about working on fear.
Yeah,
that's something I also did in college as a young man. I studied theater and psychology, and knowing that fear is the most powerful human emotion. Sadly, I wish it was love, but fear can stop a lot of things and force people into bad decisions or decisions they didn't really choose to do or want to do.
Are there moments where you felt that fear got in the way? You look back on
your career. With me, I knew when it would stop me from things in life.
Yeah.
And I was very conscious of those things. So I worked on something I was afraid of every day for a decade and realized after 10 years that all those things from, this could be fear of sharks, fear of intimacy, fear of success, could be a lot of different types of fear, right?
Yeah.
And what they had all in common is just the unknown.
Yeah.
The unknown is what we typically are afraid of.
Yeah.
And when you become educated about it, then you're not so afraid of it anymore.
Do any linger? Do you have any, like, remnants?
What about
success?
I think
that came suddenly, that real big success.
Yeah, no, see, even from my perspective, success was, I never wanted fame.
Right.
I was just good at my job, what I love to do. And I became famous for those things, right?
Yeah.
There are some people that want to be famous. I don't hang around those people.
Yeah. Those are all my friends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that, you know, just kind of came with the thing.
Yeah.
But I think from my perspective, it's been such a slow trajectory from 93 up until now in 2019 of success. And there's milestones like
Dahmer
and Hurt Locker and other things.
Befriending me.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But like you say, you don't want fame, but fame is now an obvious byproduct of how good you've been as an actor. So how do you deal with that? And that is a new thing, relatively new in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
How did you adjust to that? And are you still adjusting to
that? I stay home a lot more. Like, it just because Endgame came out right here. Now, I remember being at Barney's Beanery in 1999 or something. I did like some Bud Light campaign or something, whatever it was.
Yeah, it's right down the street.
You look familiar. You look like somebody I went to high school with.
Uh-huh.
And then it went to, oh, wait, yeah, you're the guy in that thing. And then, like,
tell me where I know you from.
And now it's fifth graders know my first and last name.
That's crazy.
When I dropped my daughter off at school, that's Jeremy Renner. And they got cell phones. They want selfies. I'm like, I'm out of here.
How does your daughter handle that? What does she think of that?
That didn't happen when I dropped her off in her class already, and I came out, and I got, you know, but first of all, if you're going to get attacked by, like, 30 people, let it be fourth and fifth graders.
It's probably the easiest.
So dang cute, dude. And I'll do anything for kids, man.
Get away from me!
Yes, exactly.
Just ruins the character of Hawkeye. The real Hawkeye's mean.
He broke my phone in half.
He doesn't even carry a bow and arrow. But yeah, that must feel cool. Like kids.
Kids part of it is kind of the amazing thing. And this is like a kind of a global, across the globe kind of thing. And knowing that they really make my day better when that happens, you know.
Yeah.
Because I do love kids so much. It's maybe some of the adults.
Yeah. The older kids.
Yeah, the older kids.
With the sweaty palms.
That's right. And, you know, wanting a selfie at the urinal. Just like, come on, man. No, oh, it's for my son.
Yeah, well, then angle up a little bit. Yeah. I see where you're pointing.
Happens.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
A lot.
And you oblige. Cool. Yeah,
why not?
Yeah. So you're working for Wild Dahmer is, like you mentioned, as like a milestone.
Yeah. Big time.
How did you get that? How did that come about?
Yeah, it's a really strange experience.
I remember seeing you on a show called The It Factor.
Yeah, yeah.
You were on it was a reality type show.
Yeah, yeah, that was after Dahmer.
You had shot it.
Yeah.
I remember that was mentioned on the show a few times.
Yeah.
Like, I'm waiting for this to come out.
I mean, I got this script. I didn't know who Jeffrey Dahmer was. Mm-hmm. And sat with the director the next day. Then the next day we were filming. And then 13 days later we were done filming.
What?
Yeah. Weird. I'm like, I don't know what the heck I was doing. I had to, it's the strangest experience.
Oh,
the strangest experience. It was shot, you know, on short ends on film, which just means you only have like 30 seconds to a minute and a half of takes to do. And it was just like guerrilla filmmaking.
Short end was before digital. They would get scraps, basically,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Because cans of film, you know, they're 1,000 feet or whatever. These are like, you know, 100 feet, which is like literally a minute.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's just how we did it and how it happened. I have no idea where, you know,
I'm
going to
go back and rewatch that.
I have
knowing
no
that,
idea.
So they couldn't do long takes. They couldn't do any tracking shots, right?
Yep.
Wow. So you had literally a day to research that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's good I didn't know much about him, because then I'd probably come with judgment or something like that. It'd be hard to do if you had a lot of, you know, hatred or anger or something.
A
judgment that comes with that. So, I mean, I knew kind of something, but not really much detail. And
oh my God.
Because of that, I had to approach it from a kind of a different, more...
More neutral,
way.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe more understanding.
Yeah, yeah.
And that led then to certainly people in the industry knowing, you know, being on their radar. And I'm sure
that's how I met my agent, actually, because the trailer to Dahmer was playing before Ivan's Ecstasy. And then he saw the trailer and then called.
Did you think after Dahmer and you get the agent, at that point, are you thinking this is going to be my big break? This is...
No. I mean, it was weird because like I said, after shooting it, I woke up, I had no electricity in my apartment.
Uh-huh.
And I remember waking up and I didn't have to go to work that day. I'm like, wow, did we just do a whole movie?
That's nuts.
Did I just play a serial killer? Did that just...
13 days.
I had no idea what really transpired or how it would be or...
Are you like that? Usually you lose yourself in the...
With that one in particular,
immersive.
I had to kind of stay in it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's far stretch for me, man. It's a very far stretch and it's very... uncomfortable. So I was pretty much always on camera and always kind of just in it.
Because
it's a really weird place to be.
Hurt Locker must have changed... That did change things radically. But again, is that the same kind of thing where you're not... You strike me as someone who's not conscientious of how this will affect the...
Never.
Yeah.
Never forward thought.
It's just being present, doing the job.
Yeah.
Where did you do that job? That was in Morocco?
That was in Jordan.
Difficult? It strikes me as a lot of sand, a lot of...
That was...
look at that job.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. That was...
A lot of sand at the end of the day.
A lot of sand sandwiches, man.
Yeah.
That was very difficult because it was 135 degrees and 100-pound bomb suit, but that was the easy part. It was pretty amazing, but I'd never want to do it again.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Glad you did it. Rewarding.
Experience.
Yeah.
But then when we were done with that movie, we were like, ooh, I don't know. Is this going to suck? Is this going to be anything? Is it even going to be a film? Is this a series? We had no idea.
Well, because so much of it is visual. You diffusing that. The tension, so much of the tension is
visual.
Well,
a lot of the movie, too, we never saw, you know, Catherine. You didn't know what the set was. The sets were giant. It's like a square mile. In the middle of the Middle East, you have no idea who's in the movie or not in the movie.
Right.
The cameras were on long lenses and always moving. You never saw any. So I had like, are they filming? I hope they're getting this.
Yeah.
No idea. But every once in a while, you'd see Barry Ackroyd come around. He'd pop out of a trunk with a camera.
Oh, it's like that. Oh,
he would.
Steady cam.
He's the one that would come close, and I knew there was actually film being shot.
Oh, my God.
Otherwise, like, what's happening? You know, the beginning of the day, Catherine's like, okay, there's a IED 300 meters down this road. Okay, let's go. And our whole day was to go do that. So we just had no, there's no, it was strange. It was really strange.
So are you improvising that stuff?
There's a lot of stuff that's improvised. There's a lot of, yeah. I mean, it was more real than it really needed to be.
Yeah. So she was going for a very, like, cinema verite, like, a real, like, capturing kind of docu.
Very much so like that. I didn't know ultimately what we're looking at. I never saw any dailies or even playback because there was no playback. She had four clamshells with these tiny little screens to see what was going on.
Oh, my God.
And we were just going.
So then was it a surprise when all this stuff happened with
her? Yeah, that thing really started taking off a lot.
Yeah. Like awards wise and all that, that, and that attention.
Yeah, a lot of attention came with that.
As a podcast listener, I'm sure you know that audio piques the imagination, like especially this show. So if you really want to feel like you're in the story, check out Audible's collection of brand new exclusive thrillers.
Their titles feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. So you'll be kept on the edge of your seat.
Here's an interesting psychological thriller that is out right now. It's an Audible original. It's called Oracle. It follows an FBI psychic who can help solve missing person cases when he touches those close to the victims. But of course, it comes at a cost. He'll see the horrific moments before the victims disappeared.
Shorties, I just got chills. You have to listen along with me. You don't have to.
No.
But I think you should.
Yeah, it'd be fun. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/long or text long to 500-500. That's audible.com/long or text long to 500-500.
Hiring? Well, with Indeed, your search is over. Because you can get rid of the search and just match. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. That's because Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. It's constantly learning from your preferences. Basically, the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/long. Just go to Indeed.com/long right now and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/long. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up, we'll meet again.
You start doing these huge movies, the Mission Impossible.
That happened pretty quick around the Hurt Locker.
I don't want to say this. Do you enjoy those bigger things? There's a lot more time, downtime, a lot more waiting around. Do you enjoy
on bigger movies? Yeah.
How do you busy yourself on?
I feel like for the big movies I've been able to do and been blessed to do, there's still really great character within them all, otherwise I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah,
it's not just running around and just whatever, but there's some sort of depth to the character. So I've always found some sort of gratifying in a way. Yeah. And then there's also certain challenges because a lot of them were action films, and I had to learn, and I learned from Tom Cruise that you have to prepare your body for a beating, if you will, to repeat over and over and over again,
right,
stunts, so I really learned that, you know, it's like a sport. It's like you have to be an athlete, right?
Were you an athletic kid?
Yeah, very much.
Oh, really?
So that's what I really kind of clung to.
Yeah.
And learning new skill sets that I would never learn, like kale and some judo throws and all these
so
things.
Cool.
And
so you enjoy
that's
that?
I love that. Yeah, I love that so much. So that was. I'm always in the gym, always having to train and learn and do something new and find. And that I found a lot of, there wasn't a lot of downtime because of that.
Of course.
So it wasn't just sit around being bored.
Also, what you're putting in your body, I mean, a lot of it is nutritional too. You have to be aware of everything.
I think
the last time I saw you, you were in the midst of something like that. And you were like, God, I'm having to watch everything I eat and going out. And, do you want to continue musically? Do you want to stay away from
music? Music is really kind of become more... serious to me in a way, because I just started recording like 3 years ago, and that was new. And since I've been recording, it's just been a lot of fun. And
The same kind of fulfilling as acting.
Even more so, probably more, because I can do it so quickly.
Yeah.
I don't have, for the even the end result or the writing process is more gratifying. And also, I can just sit down at a piano and sing. Yeah, I don't need a camera.
It's pure.
I don't need a script. I don't have to go anywhere. Most
it's
importantly,
unfiltered.
Yeah, and it's still emotionally expressive and certain challenges within it, and that I can do it in my home.
Yeah,
in my daughter with my daughter.
Yeah,
and movies would take me away to Tom Cruise to Botswana for 9 months, and like that doesn't really serve me when as a father.
When you're overseas, does she come? Is she able to come and see you over there?
She was too young to fly her that far.
Yeah.
And still at this age, I wouldn't fly her that far. I'd fly home every other weekend.
Oh, wow.
When I was living in London doing Mission Impossible and then Avenger, Age of Ultron back to back. I had to fly home from London to LA every other weekend. It was pretty brutal.
Oof.
This is why I just had to re-shift things for my life, you know, and so it worked for me and my daughter.
Yeah, yeah, and probably that means being a lot more selective. That means
I've always been pretty selective. It's just even when I was broke or whatever.
Yeah,
but it just has to serve me being in front of my daughter. Otherwise, it's just not even considered.
I mean, in terms of feeling that way about another human being that you never met, did that just knock you over? Was that
in a wonderful way?
Yeah.
I mean, when you're so clear about what you want,
uh-huh,
and also you know what you don't want, life is a lot easier.
Yeah,
life
totally.
Life is a lot easier.
When you were makeup artist, how long were you a makeup artist for?
I do that for like 8 years, I believe.
8 years?
Yeah.
So you worked with a lot of actors?
No, no. I did these. I did. I worked. I didn't want to work. down here to be an actor, so
yeah,
I never worked in the film side of makeup. I was working at malls doing like teaching people how to apply makeup at a Lancôme counter
or
Laurent Mercier or wherever it might have been, you know.
You must have any funny stories from...
Oh, my God. There's so many.
Give me one.
Strange, odd...
Oh, man.
Odd experiences over those 8 years.
So you're the guy that... It's usually women who are like...
Correct.
Hey, do you want to buy this thing?
Yeah,
and like,
they
do little tutorials.
Yeah.
Did women... Were they ever hesitant to go sit at your thing because you're...
I don't know. They may or may not have been, but it was much more of a therapy session sitting down.
Uh-huh.
And because I was a terrible salesman, I could not sell anything.
Uh-huh.
But why things were bought is because I sat with them and asked them, you know, how much time do you spend putting on makeup and why? And what do you, you know, da 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 da, what colors you like? You know, just asking a lot of questions about them and can direct it into, how do I make this woman feel beautiful? It has nothing to do with makeup.
Because
that's where the beauty comes in, right? The beauty is how you feel about yourself, and then it's projected out.
Uh-huh.
If you feel insecure, you feel empty, or you don't feel good about yourself, it's just, I don't care what makeup I put on you. It might look beautiful, but
cover.
You're not beautiful. So I'm going to try to find a way in to make them feel beautiful.
That's interesting.
And then this is how we output it with makeup or anything else.
Was that something that you just came naturally? Did somebody
This is a natural thing, right? Because I've always been very, very interested in human behavior, again, with psychology background, and then applying that every day as an actor in work,
which
is human behavior. So I became really, really great and aware of human behavior.
Very perceptive, probably.
Very
too.
Much so.
What do you remember any in particular that you can talk about that were...
One, there's this interesting story, but it was much more kind of thoughtful and amazing. These two gals came up. One, you know, had a lot more makeup, and the other one's, you know, looks like she probably never wears makeup and da-da-da. Anyway, they both sat down, had a great little 5-minute conversation and put some makeup on and made them feel good, and then off they skipped. They came back, and there's some guy hands me a card, or they handed me a card, I can't remember, and I got offered to go be a makeup artist for Playboy.
I'm listening.
And yeah, I'm listening. Hold on. Lotion.
Yeah.
And, you know, I...
Can we stop recording for 1 second?
That sounds...
No, sorry.
We're going to take a pause now. So I got offered to go do put makeup on beautiful women. And I'm like, wow, it sounds like a dream job, but I'm going to have to pass. Because I just know that's just not where I want to go in life. And it would lead me away from my director for coming down to L.A. to be an actor. So I had to, had to pass on that job.
What? How? Oh, you would have had to leave L.A.?
No, no, be here, but it's a full-time job.
Oh, I see.
You know, it's a full-time
job.
Like, no, I can't do that. Why? I never did anything for money.
Oh, so the two women that sat that you
knew the guy or whatever, and pretty much, yeah. And then so I called afterwards to cut the story short. You know, got the card and then called them. They wanted me just to be. Yeah, I had to do it. And I say no, I can't do it. And
oh wow, was that hard? Are those moments hard for you? Where it's because you're already making
question,
money.
Without question, it's wow. Never doing anything for money. That gave me big brass balls in any decision I made because I knew it wasn't ever about money.
And it probably helps growing up without a lot of money because it wasn't like you had this bar that had been set. Like you need a Porsche and you need these things.
Yeah,
and you weren't exposed to that as a kid.
No.
That's got to help a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was, eating in $5 a month and I was back against the wall and living with no power. That kind of stuff is pretty tough, but at least I know that I can say no. Like that happened with Guillermo del Toro, who very, very amazing director.
Yeah.
But Hellboy was a movie that they offered me, and it was a lot of money than I've ever heard in my life. And I still had to say no because I didn't have any, I didn't know a way into the character in that movie.
And that was before things took off.
That was after Dahmer.
Oh my
and
God.
And before SWAT.
That's balls.
And I had to say, it was like $250,000. And like, I had no electricity, like candlelight, right?
That's crazy.
It never crossed my brain that, oh, that'd be great to have that money. I was just reading this script. I'm like, I don't get this.
But forget the money.
Hellboy's kind of the comic thing, and there was like a detective in it. And I just couldn't connect to it. So I said, I can't find a way in. I don't know what I'd be doing. So I had to say no.
That's nuts. I mean, I've heard Sammy's mentioned that about you and that he has his own stories and that I just can't forget the money. Like I would think.
And also the opportunity to be in a big movie.
It's just wow.
I got to feel like I can contribute something. With confidence, if I didn't have confidence in, I didn't know. It's just like, there's one thing to not know and go learn something, but there's one thing where you just, there's nothing.
You don't see any avenue
to contribute. I feel like you're shopping down the wrong aisle,
Yeah.
I'm not the guy.
Not to that degree, but I occasionally get offered these things where I always try to place myself 2 weeks in. You know, it's that 2 week mark where you're like, because I've taken too many jobs where 2 weeks in, I'm sitting in a hotel room in Georgia, and I'm like, what am I doing?
Mm.
This is not fun. It's not fulfilling. And I try to place myself too, because my instinct is always, I still can't.
Yes.
Oh my God, they're going to pay me to do a movie? I don't care. I'm probably sure. Fine. He's fine. I'll do it. But it's the 2 weeks in. It's like time is, precious. And the older you get, it's like the more precious it becomes.
Yep.
Was the director, I remember Jonah Hill passing on Transformers when we were, and I remember thinking, this is before Superbad came out and all this stuff. I remember thinking, are you nuts? This is a movie people are going to see. When you make a decision like that, and he was same thing, just total confidence. Like he didn't strike me as somebody who would second guess. Do you ever think back a couple of weeks afterwards, you still have no electricity or you're struggling to pay bills and you think, oh, fuck, this could be a lot easier. Yeah, I regret that.
No, there's zero regrets.
Wow.
Zero.
Wow. Wow.
Zero. So most of the time, it's like, ooh, I'm glad I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And it made sense to me.
Uh-huh. Especially when you see it.
Not just Hellboy or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's good or a bad movie. It's not about that.
Yeah,
it's about
for you.
I'm glad it wouldn't have fit in that. It wouldn't have fit there.
Was there a moment with Marvel, when they came to you with Marvel, with Hawkeye, was there a moment where you had to kind of figure out a way in, or was that a pretty clear way?
That was pretty easy, even though I didn't know much about the comics or any of that kind of world. The only thing that was out at the time was Iron Man. And I love that. And then I think they're about to go make Thor.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down with Kevin Feige and I said, hey, man, what you guys did with Iron Man, it's actually almost kind of plausible. That's why I buy it. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. The Downey's tremendous. And the sense of humor and all that sort of stuff. And then how are you going to do this with Fabio flying around with a hammer. I don't get how this is going to happen.
At the time, Fabio was attached.
And then you got, you know, Hemsworth that just pulled this off and made it so killer. And then that's when they showed me my character. I'm like, oh, that's great. It's just a guy with no superpower. He's just got a high skill set. I'm like, oh, great. I can actually attach to that.
Yeah.
I would have passed on Thor all day long. Not that I'd ever be cast in that, but like that kind of thing. I'd be like, I don't know how to do that. I'm sorry. But like Hawkeye or Clint Barton, I'm like, oh, great. High skill set. I can figure that out.
You see a way in.
Yeah.
And has it been rewarding playing that character?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, there's going to be some.
There's always
some more. It's just going to be great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. We can't. Yeah. Yeah. Can't say anything. Don't reveal anything exciting on this show. We like to keep it mundane. Stories that people already know.
Yeah.
It'd be great if you could retread that. Do you ever think about writing or direct? You're bright. You know
directing,
so much about
no way, man. That takes way, like you said, time.
Yeah.
It's like 3 to 6 months for an actor on a set. But think about all the prep and then the post.
Yeah.
Especially now as a father, a single father. There's no way, man. I love the idea of it, but there's no way I could. The practicality of time is not gonna happen.
So you might direct something. What is? Are there performances you look back on and you are more proud of than others? Are there ones? This might be an impossible question. Are there ones that you do? You have any regrets about any of the roles you've done? You think now, God, if I had the opportunities now, I wouldn't have done.
I think they've all informed me of things, and I've enjoyed it, everything I've done. And
do you think about how you're perceived? Do you ever think about perception, legacy?
No,
things
I give zero fucks.
About
perception.
I knew that, but I wanted you to say it.
You just wanted me to say zero fucks.
I was just setting you up.
This is my face.
We needed more.
Zero.
Yeah. It's true. I knew you before all this crazy shit happened, and Eddie always struck me as somebody who gave zero fucks. And if it's possible to give less than zero fucks.
It's also like my resting face.
Yeah.
It's a very angry resting face. At least my mom's is. And I got it from hers, but I pretty much built a career upon it. And a belief system.
Yeah. I have the opposite kind of face. What?
The happy invited.
Yeah. Hey.
Take advantage of me. Take advantage of me.
Eager, but I'm really dark.
Exactly.
What did your mom do again? You said.
My mom, she was a bookkeeper.
Bookkeeper.
Yeah.
And are you still close with all your siblings?
They're currently living in my house at the moment.
You're too close for them.
Yeah, it's a little too close. But yeah, we're very, very, very close.
You're one of 10.
There's seven.
One of seven.
And I have a sister, my brother-in-law, my brother, my mom, and my little niece and nephew. But
they're all in the house?
Right now, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's just great, but it's temporary.
Yeah, but it must be great, especially for your daughter, because she's close with her grandma.
It's great having the cousins around, and we're always together anyway. Our family is very, very, very close, and it's pretty awesome. You know, you don't get to choose your family, right?
Yeah,
because some family can just suck.
Sure,
I would choose pretty much every family member I got, and I love them all so much.
And it's
reflective in my friendships too, right?
Yeah. You're so close with all your old friends. So you're gonna be doing more, so you don't have to say if it's whatever, but more Marvel stuff
there's always Marvel. The Marvel world is, there's always options to, you know, like even the word Endgame, right? With any ending, there's always another beginning. Like I think they're doing a Black Widow movie, which is awesome. But there's lots of things that can happen, and I don't know what they are. Or that I can tell you, just yet.
You're resting bitch face. Gave it away. Smiling.
That's right.
What is it? You got to tell me like a really weird fan interaction. You must have some, and I know you love the fans, and it's great. But there's got to be some. I've done just a few of those like convention things. And I've seen some crazy shit. There's some really weird shit. Most of it's like really great and like appreciative and affectionate. But do you have any really weird ones?
I think the whole thing is weird, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
In the sense of, because I'm just a dude. Like I don't know how people perceive me, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just a dude from Modesto, California. Yeah. So happy I didn't get someone pregnant when I was 20.
Yeah.
I'd still have a mullet and drive around a Trans Am, you know, but I didn't. So I don't, I'm still just that dude. I'm just a kid from a small town, and I don't know how people perceive me. And I don't really care to know.
Of course.
Right? It's hard to. It's impossible.
Well, it's also like a slippery slope. If you start investigating that and investing in that,
that's
right. It's like, you're fucked.
Yeah.
But as so from that perspective, from that kid from Modesto, so it probably gives affords you like a very almost like an objective point of view when it comes to fandom and people dressing up and stuff. Like, so you show up at those premieres and there are people just clamoring to get. Do you maintain that sense of disconnect, or do you enjoy it?
Actually, the opposite. It's more of a real connect, you know. I like spending time with the fans, especially like at the premieres. I mean, I want to talk to the carpet and people and microphones, and like, I've done enough of that. Get out of here. I want to go talk to the fans that really ultimately make all that happen.
Totally.
And I spend a lot of time just, you know, I look at people in the eye and I shake their hand and say, this is awesome. Let's take a photo. And I spend the time doing it. And There's value in it to me have to spend the time.
Of course. I mean, that's why.
And nobody gets that weird, you know. It might get grabbed here and there. And sometimes it's
maybe an arrow through the shoulder, non-vital organ.
Yeah. Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom. Want to hear a really satisfying sound? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language this year, it'll be one of your favorite sounds too. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. With Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts, you can start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I've been loving learning Spanish because I love traveling to Spanish-speaking countries, and I just want to be better at communicating with the people. I love the people there, and I want to be able to get to know them better. I also love the food, so I'd like to be better at ordering food so I don't order the wrong thing. They teach you very practical, real-world language skills. And here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/long. Get 55% off at babbel.com/long, spelled BABBEL.com/long. Rules and restrictions may apply. If you run an e-commerce business, you know the amount of work it takes to produce something great.
So if you want to optimize your workflow and reduce costs, ShipStation is the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates wherever you sell online.
ShipStation's simple dashboard makes managing orders, smooth label printing, reporting, and customer service unbelievably easy.
With shipping configurations automatically applied, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online.
Plus, save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off UPS, DHL Express, and USPS rates. Over 130,000 companies have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation.
ShipStation is the innovative tool that helps turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth.
Go to ShipStation.com and use code LONG to sign up for your free 60-day trial.
That's ShipStation.com, code LONG.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up and we'll meet again.
Do you text a lot? Are you a big texter?
I guess, but like one letter.
Yeah.
K.
What do you use emojis?
Here,
just text
here. Here.
Yeah. I wrote a long.
Four.
Oh, good. I'm glad that you're really paragraph back.
Dude, it's going to be so great to see you.
K. I wish I had a little bit. I got to borrow some of that. I got to start doing more of the Renner texting.
Yeah, there you go.
When it comes to Renner texting, what's your most commonly used emoji? What's your emoji K that you'd write back? Your go-to?
Just the letter K.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
No, thumbs up, smiley face. I have to ask these.
Oh, yeah. I guess, maybe thumbs up to my business manager to say it's okay to pay something.
Okay.
Thumbs up, or it's a finger.
Okay.
To not middle pay. Finger. Yeah, don't pay it.
Or you have to pay, but I'm angry about it.
Exactly.
If you could be a professional athlete, what sport would you play? What did you play in school?
I was into soccer and Wow, bowling, but it's not a sport.
Bowling? Is bowling a sport?
Yeah, no. That's what I did when I was a kid.
I've been watching a lot of cornhole. There's a cornhole.
I've seen that on ESPN or something.
They're incredible.
That's a real thing.
But they all look like they only drink beer. Like they've been drinking beer for 7 years. They all, but are they athletes? I don't know. You don't want to lose the cornhole audience of the Avengers.
I play cornhole all the time.
I love cornhole. Yeah, but are you an athlete when you're playing?
Well, yeah, you know, I suppose, but
be very careful.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
So bowling or, but you would be
saying. If I was going to be in a sport, I don't know if there's one I'd want to be in. I like watching football.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to do that.
Who's your team?
Niners, 1979, right. From being up Northern California.
That's right. They're looking okay.
Garoppolo. Once you got Garoppolo, I think we'll probably start picking back up and getting some victories.
Do you ever go to games?
I do when I can. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You're on Instagram a lot. Or you have a huge Instagram following. What's that like for you?
Social media is kind of, it's
a necessary kind of.
It's kind of necessary evil it's kind of junky, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I don't really want to mess with it too much, just enough to kind of output stuff.
Uh-huh. So
well,
you don't read stuff or interact?
No,
Again, slippery slope.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you could have one one snack food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Cookie dough?
Just cookie dough.
Is that a snack?
Yeah.
Or is that a meal?
Well, it depends how much you eat.
The log of it. You know, the
just a log, you just shove
the tube. Yeah.
Cookie dough tube. That'd be a meal, I think. So there's my next question. The answer to my next question. Favorite meal is a log of cookie. favorite entree. What's your favorite movie of all time? Who? Because Sammy had so many, heroes. All those guys from the 70s. Gene Hackman. Yeah. You strike me as being really inspired by guys like that as well.
Yeah, I think it's hard to quantify or limit. I'd always figure out if I was going to watch. I have to look back, what movies have I seen more than 30 times?
Yeah, exactly.
There would be Clockwork Orange, it would be Jungle Book, the animated Jungle Book, and then, E.T. What movies have I seen really literally that much? Or if it popped on TV, Braveheart popped on TV, I'd have to finish the rest
exactly.
of it, no matter where it started,
Yeah, we were just talking about that last night. I got to refine that because, to pick one movie and... Tootsie, I'll watch anytime it's on. There are movies that I'll watch whenever it's on. I kind of have to. It's like hanging out with a friend,
Yep.
I feel that way about The Town. I know The Town so well, but I have to watch. It's so fucking good.
I've seen it once, I think.
What?
I saw it once. Yeah.
That's like... That's
I don't really like to watch
that's
it.
That's 19 fewer times than I've seen it. What, you've only seen it once?
Yeah.
Is there a reason?
I don't know. I shot the damn movie, so I know, happens.
But it's that's true. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, exactly.
Spoiler alert, they die.
It's good to see it once, see how it all came together.
Yeah.
Great. And then I'm done.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Not only I haven't seen TV in 30 years, man. I don't watch.
That's right. You don't have, you didn't have it. You don't have TV.
I have TVs. It just don't. I just don't watch TV. It's also because I'm an actionable kind of thing. I don't like, I like the output and to sit back and just receive something.
So when you're not working, when you're not acting, what is that output?
I'm not working anymore, really. When's the last time I did work? I don't remember.
So what satisfies
you? I make believe for a living, right? So that's play.
Right. So the last time you played, what when you're not playing, what satisfies that doing itch? You say you're actionable. What
growth. I think growth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Growth that happens. My own personal growth
and
output comes from it. As an artist, as you know, if you're a comic, which you are in my mind, right? Yeah. You could do stand-up. I don't know if you have done stand-up, but that might be the hardest job on the planet. But what is, you're getting laughs back or whatever
is
that?
Right.
I don't have that. I'm not a painter where it's tangible.
You can't quantify,
right? As an actor, how do you...
Instagram followers.
There you go. And then with music, it's just sort of auditory.
Yeah.
So Building Homes was very, very gratifying and satisfying to me.
Yeah.
There's a tangible thing.
That's why I like gardening. I love doing something with my hands. I love having something to show for it. I love looking back and seeing a plant grow. There's something really satisfying about that.
Yeah.
It's funny. I don't really get that satisfaction from seeing movies I've done. People, and I think about that sometimes. Should I be more proud that I've done these? Should that fill me in a way that it doesn't really?
Right.
Because people, there's so many actors who would kill to be in that position.
Right.
But I know what you mean. It's the doing of it that was really, I look back on and think, oh, that was gratifying or not. If you could live somewhere or not, or it wasn't.
Regret.
Or it was Herbie, the magic car, which was also gratifying because they're great stories. If you could, if you had to live somewhere else, would it be up north, Modesto?
Yeah, Lake Tahoe is where I spend most of my time. That's where I'm a resident of in Nevada, where it's not far from where I'm originally from.
Oh, cool.
And because I can exist there at elevation, and I was right by a ski resort. I'm a big skier. I love the stars. I'm surrounded by trees and clean air, clean water.
Celebrities, you mean, by stars.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then no traffic. And that's amazing. So the quality of life for me is so much better up there.
Yeah.
And then it's also great for my family and my daughter. And
oh, yeah. You're right on the lake? You're right.
I'm at the top of the mountain. The lake's just down the hill.
So cool.
Yeah.
If you could have dinner with three people, dead or alive, whom you've never met, who would they be?
I never met. It's gotta be dinner too.
Or lunch.
I never do that.
Brunch.
Yeah, I'm glad it's only three because I've never.
What do you mean? You don't have dinner with people? Socially?
It's like four is a good number.
Okay.
Any more than that because, and I get invited to those a lot. It's like, what's the point?
Oh,
so everyone's cross talking. I'm never gonna see you way down at that end of the table. It's like, I'm out of here. This is terrible.
This is something else I admire about you. I would imagine that you would have no trouble just passing on those things.
Yeah.
But what
I'm
about?
Like, fuck no, I'm not going to that thing.
Yeah, but what about like the Marvel?
Who's there?
You're on the Pisani. John Pisani's like, hey, listen, Jeremy, they want you to do this dinner for the. I mean, like it's like a Marvel thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have to go? What do you
I
say?
I asked how many people are at the table.
And if it's more,
I just
than
did
four?
One. Oh, just really? Did one. Yeah.
And if it's more than four, you say, oh God.
Yeah, yeah.
I need that. I need some of that. So
I don't think there's. I don't think to answer your question, I don't think there's any names. It might be like. People that are interesting, because I don't want to be disappointed either if I picked out three names, like, oh, Einstein, what a cunt he was.
God, Lincoln's so selfish.
What? I know.
He keeps grabbing my food.
And he's a little touchy. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't want to be disappointed by somebody I'd love to like to sit down and have a chat with.
Sorry, I just have such a clear visual of Lincoln grabbing your junk.
Jesus, Abe. I mean, calm down.
He's like, well, it's been a while.
But I think it would probably be... You know, it'd be cool. I think like to sit down with my dad when he was, if we were the same age.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That would be cool.
That's why Back to the Future is so good.
Right, you know? That kind of vibe.
Yeah,
like that would be really cool or interesting to me.
Do you hang out with your dad a lot? Still?
Yeah, my dad and I are very, very close
as
well.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And same house he's in. You say
he's not in the same house. Oh, as well. He's up by my house in Tahoe.
Oh,
he's
nice. Got
yeah, in Grass Valley with my two little brothers.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Who is your favorite? Task is who's your favorite Muppet?
Animal. I do like the
answer.
Drummer.
Yeah.
Aren't Muppets the two old dudes in the the two old dudes in the balcony?
Oh yeah, Skyler and Waldorf.
Love those dudes. Love those guys
because they're such bitches. They're just like bitchy.
It reminds me like Sam.
Yes.
Rockwell. Like,
yeah.
You know. I feel
maybe
like,
with a. Yeah, totally. It's like you and Sam being like, "The fuck is that?"
Yeah. All these people could kiss my whole ass.
Yeah. The town, I wouldn't watch the city.
Exactly.
Who, if you could have one superpower, what would it be? If you give Hawkeye, for example, a superhuman skill?
You know. God, I am asked that all the time, and it's usually in an interview with somebody after 9 hours. I'm just like,
what is that? Give me that answer when after the day of the press junket. Yeah.
So, okay, if you could. So Godzilla and Hawkeye get a fight, or Jason Bourne. And I'm like, oh my goodness. That's like Godzilla wins all the time. Godzilla wins.
Okay.
And he's like, what's your superpower? I'm like, oh yeah, I want the power. What is it, to nap?
The narcolepsy.
Narcolepsy, yeah. So then I just go to sleep like
so
this.
So you want an affliction.
And I wake up and you're gone. See how amazing that is?
The Men in Black power. Yeah. I just want to forget this ever happened.
Exactly. Ask a good question and get a good answer. Yeah, it's a dumb question.
Yeah. There's a really funny...
Can't wait for you to leave.
I think it's you and Scarlett doing a junket. She gets asked like a really... That guy who's like really like aggressive and kind of a thick, meaty guy from like Extra or something. Mm-hmm. He's like... He's asking her about her like... underwear or something.
I remember that.
Oh, and she's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
exactly. He's like, no, I just want to know. I mean,
I know.
That got really fun.
I never watch any of those things, terrible junket things.
Well, I sometimes like
I don't
watching
even know who watches them.
I like watching awkward interviews. You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
great. Yeah. Oh, I love
I'm
it.
Sure I'm in a lot of them.
No, this is the only one I saw. At the end of the...
That's good.
Yeah. But I like doing a game in those junkets where, because you're right, they do get so tedious. And like, I like, if you're doing it with another person, you say like a phrase that you have to hit. Like, that's the way the cookie crumbles. So when they're like, so who would win in a fight? Like Hawkeye or whatever, you could be like... Well, look, you know, Hawkeye does have the bow and arrow, and this other guy's strong. Look, whatever happens, that's just
the way the cookie crumbles.
Yeah, it's really fun. Just for next time.
I love it.
If you could be one age physically for the rest of your life, what would you pick?
Physically?
Yeah.
I'd say probably 35.
Yeah.
35.
If you had to be an animal, a non-human animal, what animal do you... identify with? What animal do you just like? You look at, you feel like I could be that in the next life if I were reincarnated.
That'd be awesome to be that frog, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
wouldn't it be cool to be that? I don't know.
Which frog?
I think I got. I do love hawks. Which would be kind of appropriate. But
oh yeah,
because that idea of flight.
Yes. Yeah. You know, JB Smoove was on a couple of days ago, and he goes, I'd like to fly. But not. But I'm afraid of height.
Yeah, so be so like a mosquito or something?
It'd be like hovering. We just pictured him like hovering, like on a Segway, but without the Segway. It was such a funny image of JB Smoove like just hovering around. Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Yeah. Beatles, Stones.
Mm. Do I have to make a decision on the choice?
Yeah, Beatles? This is a really...
Beatles.
Yeah. Okay. But you don't want to expand on that.
Beatles.
Do you ever think about your... I mean, this is dark, but how you want to go out? Do you ever think about what else is out there? Are you locked into this life? Do you ever think about?
Oh, I mean, all the time.
Yeah.
Stars, because I love the sky. I love Talos. So
yeah.
It's always a great reminder, especially if I have any sort of stress or things that are happening that are not great in life. It's great to get out of your own way and just think about, wait, there's, you know, what am I doing? I'm just a grain of sand on this thing. And my little stupid problems that may have been ruining my life at the time.
Yeah.
Just gives you a little perspective shift. You know what I mean? And with that, it is more like in belief systems. And I studied every religion growing up, but I'm not religious.
You weren't raised in any particular religion.
I experienced every religion. My dad was a theologist.
Oh, wow.
So I studied every religion. So it just wasn't my thing. Like an organized religion isn't my thing, but I'm solely for people and their religions, right? And my belief system is just more energetic and things like that. That we're more, it's more science meets sort of spirituality. And the knowingness that I have, I don't fear death.
Yeah. You don't?
No, I know I'll be buried under a tree. I'll be cremated and buried under a tree to create more life on the planet, right? I already know that and I'll settle with that. It's in
documents. How do you not fear death?
Because I've... really had a great life.
Yeah.
Because of maybe not fearing death, you know.
Wow.
I'm not trying to be reckless or trying to kill myself by any means.
Right. No, you're not like hoping it ends soon.
And it's not something I can really control, you know. What do we have control of? We don't have control of when we die. We do have control of how we perceive things, though.
Yeah.
We have control of our bodies, our physical bodies, sometimes, and then you get older, then you can't even do that. But we do have control of our perception. And that is, to me, the clutch to any sort of happiness in life and being solid with yourself.
Oh, wow. That is so...
And problem solving. That's great for problem solving skills, you know, which, you know, I think we all need.
Yeah. Are you instilling anything? How do you treat that subject with your daughter? What do you say to her about... Has that come up? Any of those big things come up?
It's more done in being actionable in it, to being very consistent and constant in her life.
Yeah.
The first 7 years of development are the most important and affecting for any human being, and especially girls, because they're exceptionally more smart and in tune in their brains than boys are. Boys are quite dumb as shit, typically.
Yeah.
But especially for a young girl,
especially
as a father to a young girl as well, that the connection between them is very, very important and lasting. And then it's in the 7 to 14, 14 to 21, 21 to 28, are the last, it's the last quadrant of human development, real human development.
Yeah. Do you see, what of you do you see in her?
Quite a bit, actually. Yeah. Quite a bit. Also, physically, if you have pictures of us the same age, it's...
She looks like your mom.
She's got a scowl. She's got a little bit less, right? I got a little bit less from my mom, and she got a little bit less from me, but she's got to go fuck herself.
Oh,
face.
Yeah?
Okay. And I like that.
Yeah.
And she has a... Yeah. But she
that'll
has a,
serve her well.
She has a lot of... Yeah, I don't have to worry about my daughter. Yeah. I'm going to worry about you, son, trying to date my daughter.
Yeah, yeah. You with your open, eager, let's do it face. shit, man. So under the tree, do you want anything on the tree? Do you want like a any sort of epitaph on the tree?
No.
Just you want your family to know where the tree is.
That'd be probably pretty cool.
Yeah.
So don't chop it down. Yeah.
Don't piss on it, maybe.
Exactly.
fuck, man. Well, you know, I am one of the handful of people who have not seen Endgame, and I know you need all the advertising, so I want to encourage people to go see that. But what should they see next? Should they do next?
I don't know.
Whatever
take
they want.
Take a nap, get some lunch. Yeah. Be good to yourself.
Yeah.
Be thoughtful of others.
Buddy, I can't thank you enough for doing this. You didn't have to, I mean, for you to do this was really cool.
Oh, I'm glad. It's great to see you. But you've said you were in New York. I'm like, fuck off. I ain't going to New York.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for my daughter.
You're right.
But, you know, this made me.
Usually we
easy.
Do this in Tahoe. So
exactly.
I'm sorry that didn't
then
work
I'll
out.
I'll be co-hosting with you.
Yeah. Okay.
Filling in.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. This was fucking fun. Yeah. It's good to see you. And I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy for you. And everything that's gone on in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And everyone, please go see Avengers. Please. It's come on. We got to help the help the box office.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right, brother.
So that happened.
That happened.
That happened.
Anyway, that did happen.
That happened. My very first impression when I was listening to the interview was, God, does he have a beautiful speaking voice?
Yeah,
it's mellifluous.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful,
yeah,
and
it's
so smooth and rich, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against you have a beautiful voice too.
Thank
I think.
You.
You have a great voice, but there's something so full bodied. Like if his voice was coffee, it would be a full bodied dark roast. It was a beautiful speaking voice. It makes sense that he has such a great singing voice.
It's the kind of voice that demands you listen to it, which I think is what makes him such a great and powerful actor.
He said something like, if I didn't have the life I have now, if I hadn't gone down this road, I very well could be a guy living in Modesto, having impregnated my girlfriend when I was 20. He said something like
with
that.
A mullet. I
with a mullet.
Him.
I do too, because it's funny. He seems like that kind of guy who just happens to have these extraordinary abilities of these artistic abilities, singing and dancing. That's why he's so rare. I think that's why he's if you name these other big movie stars that we have now, Tom Cruise and Hugh Jackman and Will Smith, there's something kind of polished about all of them, and there's something unlike them. He's got this rough around the edges, kind of regular.
Yeah.
Guy thing
And that's why he's so convincing at playing those parts. I mean, in The Town, he's so convincing at being I hate to use the word regular, the term regular Joe, or like, just like a blue collar normal guy. Because you're right. I've heard a lot of actors say versions of that. They'll try to create this narrative about their success that, or their acting success. I mistakenly used that term with Jeremy, and he was right. He kind of called me out on it. He was like, I don't measure success that way. There must be some element of, even if it's just like security, now I'm okay.
When he was talking about fear, I thought it was interesting. And how he said that, you know, he studied psychology and he worked on something he was afraid of every day for 10 years. And he strikes me now as someone, and I'm sure he does fear things and he has his issues, but he seems like he doesn't really fear much. That's really appealing. I think that's a big reason why he is such an appealing person to watch.
I wonder if that will come across in just listening to it, listening to the interview.
I wonder.
So I should stress that when I was asking him these questions and he was answering, he seemed so earnest. I mean, like he didn't flinch. He wasn't shifting around at all. There's something so present and grounded, truthful about him.
You asked him if he was afraid to die and he said no. And you couldn't believe it.
I know.
I couldn't either.
I know. But I believe he's not.
I do too.
It's just so hard for me to relate to that. I feel so... We're just such different people.
I know.
It's such an understatement.
Yeah, but you are. But I think he's different than most people. I think most... I would guess that most people have some... on a scale of 1 to 10, have some degree of fear about something like that, of dying.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was like, no, I'm not afraid of that. I don't want to do it now, but I'm not afraid of it.
He is like our Steve McQueen or Gene Hackman. There's something so steely and secure about him, you know, so confident.
He also may have broken, accidentally, massive news on this podcast. At one point, he says under his breath about Hawkeye, there's going to be more.
Is that your Jeremy Renner impression?
No. There's going to be more.
Hesitating.
No, I know. I can't do it. I can't believe I even tried. I'm so ashamed that I tried.
So arrogant to even try to do a Renner impression. He does have a beautiful voice.
You asked him about his legacy, and he said he gives zero fucks about perception, which not only do I believe that, but I also think that really sums him up, that he would say... Yeah. Oh, about my legacy, my perception. I don't give a fuck about it. That seems to inform everything about him, that he's not concerned with what people think of him. And people who are really cool and confident are not concerned what people think of
them. Exactly.
And that's what makes them cool and confident.
We've talked about this before, but if you watch nerds, like I think that a defining characteristic of nerdy behavior is somebody who's just hyper aware of how they're standing, how they're talking. Jeremy is whatever the opposite of a nerd is.
I loved his dinner when he answered that. He said, "What three people would you have dinner with?" And he was like, "It's got to be dinner, huh?" But I totally agree with him about those big dinners, those 14-person dinners where, what's the point? Mm-hmm. First of all, it's really annoying to figure out the check at the end, but you can't talk to the person who's on the other end.
You know, what's funny, you know, it's true.
But unlike Jeremy, I don't have the balls to say... I can't go to this thing that I don't want to go to. I would end up going because I feel bad. I feel guilty. But he has no trouble passing on a dinner like that.
Especially when you get seated near somebody that you don't really know and you have to crosstalk.
I loved when he talked about, he didn't miss a beat when you asked him who his favorite Muppet is. Animal.
Oh, that was the best.
Because he is an Animal is a real doer. I think Jeremy is, he's not Animal, but there's something very, he's a doer, you know, and he doesn't watch, he talks about not watching TV and being consuming things. He does things.
God, I so admire that.
I do too. And that's also one of the things I really like about doing this podcast in general is you hear from people who have characteristics and qualities that you admire, that you don't have.
Yeah.
And there's something aspirational about that specific quality, I think, for me.
Mm-hmm.
When you find yourself getting lazy and passive and sitting back and consuming too much, there's something really, I think it's such a good lesson.
Yeah.
Especially for kids, especially for his fans.
Totally. To be reminded.
To get out there and do shit.
Yeah, especially for kids in this generation.
Of course.
Not the VHS kids like you.
At the end of your interview, you said, like you say to all the guests, a version of this. So what should people... see you in next. Like, what should people watch? And his answer was something to the effect of, I don't care. Do whatever you want. I don't give a fuck.
I felt like such a sellout nerdy. I just felt so like disgusting.
Oh, come on.
I did. I mean, like that, my values system was all off. There's something about him that he has kind of figured it out. I'm not, I don't want to like over praise him or sell him too hard.
But see, like, I'm sure you have qualities that he admires. I'm sure it works both ways. He did say to you, I don't know, maybe not.
Impressions.
You're Alvin. God damn it. Why do I have to be Hawkeye? I wish I could have been Alvin.
At least Theodore.
I love that he doesn't care what people see him in X. I don't, do whatever you want. And it's classic Renner.
He does give zero fucks. Oh, this is what I was thinking too. I wonder how much of it has to do with our physical appearance too. We talk about how I have like a more open face. And I relied on that as a kid. I was really small. Renner was athletic and he had this...
like bitchy resting face.
Yeah.
Not bitchy. I hope he's not listening to this.
There's like just like an arrow through your neck all of a sudden. How's that for bitchy? That's my Renner.
That's you're pushing.
I'm pushing too hard.
So that, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. I hope you guys did too. I hope you learned as much as we did about how to behave and
how disappointed we are with ourselves. And I hope you're as disappointed in yourself as we are with ourselves.
And thanks for listening. Next week's episode is going to be a live interview I did with the amazing Neil Brennan. He's a comedian. He co-created the legendary Chappelle Show and co-wrote Half Baked. It was so fun doing the interview in a room filled with people.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
If you want to hear my interview episode with Neil a week early, ad-free, you can listen to next week's episode right now by signing up for Wondery Plus at wondery.com/plus. That's wondery.com/plus. And hopefully you'll enjoy the voice memo at the end of this episode. But if you don't want to hear it, as Jeremy would say, I don't care either way. Do whatever you want. Thanks for listening to Life is Short. If you enjoyed the show, maybe you want to give us a 5-star review. That would help us out a lot, and it would ensure that the show keep going. Tell your friends to subscribe. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and every major listening app, as well as Wondery.com. Life is Short is hosted by me, Justin Long. It's produced by Christian Long and Megan Monaco. Michelle Lanz is our senior producer, and it's executive produced by Marshall Louis and Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Can you make the argument that the real personality between Clark Kent and Superman, like this is his true self, and Superman is like an acting?
I was thinking that, but no, because when he was born in Krypton,
he was just a baby before he got sent away. He was raised by nerdy American parents.
Yeah.
So they should have. So if it's nurture over nature, then they should have trained him to be a nerd.
They trained him to be a nerd. They did. I think he. I think that's why
Clark Kent became his real personality. That's what I'm saying. And Superman is the foe.
So why when he goes back, how about when he goes back to the Fortress of Solitude and he's like, oh shit, it's my dad. He's not like, what are these crystals? He like,
that's true.
He has confidence.
That's true. So
where did he get that from? But that's true. So that's just how he naturally is.
Who is the real personality? Clark Kent or Superman? That's the question.
Could it be both? What if he's schizophrenic? Like...
That's how it seems. That shouldn't be like reward. He should be like seen as troubled.
He's also the son of like a famous general. His dad was like
But his dad didn't raise him. He sent him.
But I'm saying he may genetically capable.
My point is nature over. It's like the Superman Clark Kent debate is very similar to the nature over nurture.
Yeah,
debate.
That's true.
It's like if you're a nurture over nature person, you can easily make the argument that.
Clark Kent's real, yeah. So when he's
raised by these nerds.
Yeah, but how? Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. When he's being Superman, you never see a glimpse of like, oof. You don't see Clark Kent.
Maybe it's a flaw in the performance then, or in the writing. Like, I wonder if whoever wrote this had this conversation in mind. If they thought, like, this is who he really is.
They never address that.
They never address it.
That's amazing.
Like, who's the real guy?
Yeah.
Which one's the act?
I mean, maybe they... Do they?
I've always assumed that Clark Kent was the act because this, like, cool, handsome... Because
he knows what he's capable of.
And, like, you know what it is? I think it's superficial of me because I always assumed that someone who looked that good, that handsome and, like, strong, couldn't be a nerd. So that must be the act.
Oh, interesting.
You know?
Yeah, but haven't you known big, like, kind of strapping nerds?
No. You know, Alex Klein is sort of...
Alex Klein's a strapping nerd.
He is.
But that's a good name for a band.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.